Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur halfway down Daf Chof at the Mishnah. Before we begin the text, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Rishimas Mitzvos. We'll see a list of mitzvos, Shemekaimen Oysom Rak Mineitz Hachamo. Their fulfillment is after sunrise. Me'achar shem nohagim rak b'yom, since they are daytime mitzvos. U'b'di'eved, however, post facto, im asom me'alos ha'shachar, if you performed these actions after dawn, yotza, the me'alos from alos ha'shachar, Nikro Yom. It's considered Yom, daytime, and thereby you'll fulfill the Torah requirement by having done so. Before we get into the actual text, just another overview point, and that is that this Mishnah, as well as the next Mishnah on Amud Beis, deals with lists of mitzvos and the times in which to fulfill them. So the lists and the issue of time will preoccupy us for the balance of today's shiur, which takes us basically till the end of the perek. The Mishnah. Ein Kurin es a Megillah, v'lo Molin. We don't read the Megillah, and we're talking about the daytime Megillah reading. Of course, there is a nighttime Megillah reading, but we're talking about the second Megillah reading, the daytime part, and lo malin, a circumcision, velo toivlin, immersion, velo immersion in a mikveh, velo mazin. This has to do with the hazaw of the pora aduma water. If someone was defiled to the dead and he needs the sprinkling of the red heifer water, the mei pora aduma, that's hazaw. V'chein shemeres yoim keneged yoim lo titboil. A shemeres yom keneged yom is a woman that after her nida period, she enters a period of potential ziva. During that period of time, if she has a menstrual or has a blood flow, I wouldn't say menstrual, that's associated with nida, but she has some type of release, so she becomes temea for the day that she had this blood release. Plus, the next day, she must observe as a clean day. That second day is called Shemeres Yoim Keneged Yom. She's keeping that day clean in order to achieve purification. So during that second day, she immerses in a mikveh. Now, when does the immersion take place? It has to take place after sunrise. We are, in the context of this shiur, we're not going to get into all the details in the background for the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Let us just understand that it's a situation of a woman who experiences a dam release that's not the formal nida release, which would make her tmeah for 7 days. And of course, we're speaking on a purely d'oraisa level. And as we've said many times in Gemara markings, we have to be very careful. We are not dealing, and we never attempt to deal with practical halacha. So that having been said, there's a situation of a woman who experiences a blood flow, and she's tmeah for the day, plus the next day if she manages to keep clean, means without any release. And that second day, she immerses herself in a mikveh. That immersion cannot be done at night, but namely the night before the day, but during the daytime after sunrise. V'kulon she'asu misha'olam u'rashachar kosher. All of these, if they were done after dawn, which is of course a period that's where the sunlight starts to appear before the actual rising of the sun over the horizon, it's okay, it's kosher. And the Gemara will go through now each one of these mitzvos and seek out the source. Minolon. From where do we know that Kriyas HaMegillah of the daytime is to be done by day? The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'hayomim ho'ele nizkorim v'na'asim. And we've dashed in the line of V'hayomim, b'yom in b'layla lo. The daytime, the reading of the Megillah must take place by day and not by night. So the Gemara asks, well, Leimo tevi tiufto de Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Well, then it sounds like this would be a refutation of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, chayav odom likrois es a Megillah balayla ulishanosa bayom. He says that there's a double Megillah reading. There's a Megillah reading at night and a second one by day. But now you're telling me here that the Megillah reading is by day and not by night. So the Gemara answers, as we explained when we were learning the Mishnah, Ki Katani, the Mishnah that says that the Megillah reading must be done after sunrise and not at night, that's Adiyom. That's a reference to the daytime Megillah reading that Rabbi Shua ben Levi himself had acknowledged. He simply said that in addition to the daytime reading, there is also a nighttime reading. So that after all said and done, even according to Shulman Levi, that you have to read the Megillah twice, once by night and the next one by day, you couldn't read the Megillah twice at night and fulfill your requirements. You have to read once at night and a second time by day. And that daytime reading is what our Mishnah is referring to after Neitz Hachamo. V'lo malin, and not to circumcise at night, dechtiv uvayom hashmini imol. That's a quote from the Pasuk, and the word yom is again highlighted. V'lo tovlin v'lo mazin v'chulei, dechtiv v'hizo hator al hatomei, bayom hashvi'i. The Pasuk refers to the sprinkling of the poraduma water by yom. That's during the daytime. The iskish tevila lahazoya, and we know that immersion in the mikveh is compared to hazoya. So mikveh immersion also is to take place by day. And we should point out in general that is true for most mikveh halachas. However, there are some exceptions to that, but for our purposes, we're going to stay with the general rule of thumb that mikveh immersion is by day, and it is compared to hazah. V'chein shomeres yoyim kineged yoyim lo sitbol ad shetonei tzachamo. The Gemara says pshita, mai shno shomeres yoyim kineged yoyim mikol chai v'tvilos. What is this point in the Mishnah is fairly obvious. The Mishnah itself said number three was loy toivlin other than by day. So why when we get to point number five of the Mishnah, which is an issue also of immersion, do you have to spell that out? So hence the Gemara is asking, the law that you teach in number five of the Mishnah is obvious. What's different, my shna? What's different about shemeres yom keneged yom mikol chai v'tvilos? What's different about her than any of the other tvilas? In other words, what's different that I need to spell out shemeres yom keneged yom in addition to the fact that all other tvilas take place by day? So the Gemara answers, and what we're trying to answer is, why Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is Tovelos by day has to be spelled out. And the answer, first note, it's a long answer. It takes you to the top of Amud Beis. And what we're doing here is we're explaining what I would have thought had it not been spelled out. In the course of this long answer, truth be told, there are a number of other areas of halacha, of tumas and taras, matters of ritual purity that will be discussed. For some, let's say, first-time listeners or people who don't have too much Gemara background, this might appear to be a bit difficult, and it's truth is it's not difficult at all, but if the difficulty is simply because of lack of, let's say, general knowledge or exposure to these areas of halacha. The only problem is that here we are in a Gemara markings Daf Yomi context, and sometimes, to give sufficient clear background would be overly time consuming. And since this isn't the focus of the sukkah, we're a little bit restricted in how much we can say over, how much we can speak out right now. So, but we'll try anyway to give some background. We mentioned already the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom phenomenon, the woman who had a blood sighting other than during her Nidah time. She observes a day, the first day, the day that she has the sighting of blood, of female blood flow. She is Tameah, she's considered ritually impure, and all the halachas that go along with that form of Tum'ah. And not only that day, but the next day also she has to observe as a clean day, a day where she checks herself to make sure that she isn't continuing to experience the flow. If she does, so then she has to keep, then that day also becomes Tomei, and the story continues, but not for right now. A man also can become Tomei because of a different type of liquid emission from his body. So there is the term that's called, or state is called Baal Keri. Keri is the phenomenon of a male experiencing a semen emission. And there's something called a Zav, which is another type of emission. It's not the same thing. With the case of a Baal Keri, the man is Tomei for a day. It's not like, let's say, a Nida that is a 7-day Tuma situation, but it's a 1-day Tuma situation. In fact, a Baal Keri is a very short form of Tuma. That is, that the day that he experiences the Keri, he goes to the mikveh, and by sundown he is already tar. He doesn't even have to wait a second day, a second clean day. There's another realm of Tumah that we alluded to a moment ago called Zav. It's a different type of emission. I'm not sure that we're familiar with it today, nowadays, but it exists in the Torah. It's called a Zav. And a Zav type emission, if he experiences it three times, not only that, if he experiences it twice, he becomes Tomei for 7 days. However, a Zav emission that's a one-time Zav emission is compared to a Baal Keri, to a Zera or Baal Keri emission. And that means that the first sighting of the Zav type emission, and I said before, it's a different emission than the Baal Keri. It's from the same organ, but it's a different type of emission. By the way, with regard to a male, it has nothing to do with blood. It's a different type of liquid, just like semen is a type of liquid. So too, the Zav is a type of liquid, and it has nothing to do with blood. The idea of red emissions is something that has relevance to women. We'll call this the white emissions, for lack of better expression. That has relevance to men. And as such, the first Zav sighting is paralleled to a Balkari emission. So just to review the details, but just the types of emissions we've discussed. We've touched on the Zava, the woman in her Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. We've cited a Balkari, and we've cited what we call Re'iya Rishoyne Shel Zav, the first sighting of a Zav issue. Issue, by the way, is a fine pun over here when we're talking about these issues. We turn now to the Gemara. The question had been, why does the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom Tevila by day have to be spelled out when she is Toveles anyway, when Tevila was mentioned anyway in the Mishnah? All Tevilos, practically all Tevilos, are done by day. So the Gemara answers, Itzterich. I need to spell out the halacha concerning the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Salka daito chamino. Without the Mishnah spelling it out, I would have thought, Tehevei, let the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom be like Re'iya Rishoyne Shel Zav, like the first Zav sighting. Re'iya Rishoyne Shel Zav is Kish LeBalkeri, and we know that a first Zav sighting is compared to the rules of a Balkeri sighting. Dichtiv, the pasuk where you see this comparison, it says Zois Teras Hazav Vasher Teitze Mimenu Shichva Zera. The pasuk says this is the rule of a zav and someone who experiences a zera, a semen emission. Ma Balkeri Toivel Bayoim, just like a Balkeri immerses by day. Hai Nami Litbol Biome. The real Rishon Shel Zav also is Tovel by day. Now, Veha B'yamoma Lo Motzi Tovla, the Shomeres Yoim Keneged Yom, the woman, she cannot be Tovel the very same day that she experiences her bloody mission. This is in contrast to the Balkeri and the Zav. They are Tovel the same day they had their emission. The Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she cannot be Tovel the day that she saw the bloody mission. Mishum Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Kol Yemei Zoiva Kemishkav Nidosa Yelo. And that Pasuk means, we're not translating the Pasuk, but it tells me that she has to observe a second day of Tumah in Keneged, comparable to the day that she had the actual emission. So we know that from this pasuk we learn that a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom has to count another day. But when we speak about another day, it doesn't mean another complete day. It means the fraction of another day. So the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, the day itself that she experiences the blood emission, the blood flow, she's Tamea. That's clear. She's Tamea till the end of that day. That's for sure. But in addition to that, she has to observe part of another day in a state of Tumah. And what she does on that next day, she is expected to check herself and make sure to verify that she is not experiencing a blood flow. So what did we say? We said that she's expected to observe a fraction of the next day. What does that mean? So the more we continue, Balaila Mihas Levid Mixas Shimor Vititbo. I would have thought, without our Mishnah, that the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she finishes off the day itself that she had the blood emission, so she's Tamea that day. And as the night sets in, the nighttime of what we call that ushering in the next day, in Halacha, the night is the beginning of the next day. So that night that ushers in her the second day, let her check herself out then, and if she can establish that she's not experiencing any blood flow, she checks herself out then at night and immerses in a mikveh right then and there at night. Let's read that line again. Belayla, the night, mihas, levid, mixas, shimur v'tipo. Let her, however, keep her, observe her partial second day by checking herself at night, assuming, verifying that she has stopped the blood flow, and immerse then and there at night. Kamashmalon, we are told by our Mishnah, Kevon debayos sfira. Sfira is this idea of counting the next day. We said she's Tamea the first day, so she has to count one more day in towards achieving purification. That's a halachic, it's a phenomenon and a concept. The concept of sfira, of counting. Since we're dealing with a woman that has to count one day comparable to the day that she had the blood flow, she has to count one more day without blood flow. So since she's a person that requires counting, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Sfira Biyamomahi. And here it's a very interesting halachic phenomenon. The concept of sfira has very broad application. We find sfira in other contexts as well. And here, Rashi cites the pasuk v'sofra lo shivas yomim. So we learn from that pasuk, which is not talking about a shemeres yom keneged yom, but it's talking about it makes reference to counting. And it mentions yomim in it, day. So we learn from here, from our Mishnah, that the shomeres yom keneged yom and her tevila cannot be done immediately at night that ushers in the second day, but she has to wait till the daytime hours after sunrise. Then it would be acceptable if she were to immerse in the mikveh, of course, assuming that she has verified there's no more blood flow. So just to review this last point, we thought that the Mishnah was redundant. It was overstating. It didn't have the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom when it already said in the Mishnah that tefillos take place by day. So we answered that with regard to the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, I would have thought that she could be tevelis at night for the reasons that we said already. So Kamash Malon, the Mishnah is revealing to us that we cannot go along the lines of those of that thinking, but rather since she requires sfira is done by day, and hence the tevila which follows is by day. The kulon shasu misholam u'dashachar kosher. Our Mishnah said that even though the list of halachas mentioned are to be done after sunrise, if however they were pushed earlier and done at dawn, it would be okay. It was prior to sunrise, but after dawn. Minoanimili, from where do we know that from dawn the day has the status, the legal status of Yom? It's interesting here, as we have many places in Shas, and those who are veteran listeners of the Gemara markings, Daf Yom Yishurim, know that we say this many, many times, that translation, in all due respect, can often be misleading. It's more important for the student of Gemara to develop halachic concepts, and that words aren't to be translated, but they're to be understood in a conceptual fashion. And here too, when we use the term yom, you can say day. What is day? What establishes day? Is it daylight? Is it the sun shining? Whatever. So day is, for our purposes, a halachic concept. And what are the time boundaries of that halachic concept? So that is what we're discussing now. And here we're laying down that we're establishing a principle that day officially is from Amud HaShachar, even though we said as a first choice things should be done, the things we mentioned should be done after sunrise. But if you did these things before sunrise, but after dawn, that's okay, because after dawn you've officially achieved yom status. Well, how do we know that? Minohani mili. From where do we know this? Omar Rovo, the Omar Kro. We have a marking that we want to take note of, and on the side, under the Nosei Mivne heading, the diamonds are Mekoros de Me'amud HaShachar Nechshav Yom. Sources that will indicate that from after dawn, you have achieved Yom status. And just, I know that we're sounding a little repetitive, but the halachas that we've discussed, based on their sources, and we saw the sources, psukim, that indicate they are to be done by yom. So, from where do we know that dawn constitutes yom? Well, the pasuk Yom HaKrol, the pasuk says Vayikra Lekim Lior Yom. And what does this mean? Lemeiru Bo, when light comes forth, the showing forth of light, Koroi Yom. The Gemara asks, so Ela Me'ato, but on the same scale then, Ulechoshech Koro Laila, Lemachshich Ubo Koro Laila. That from the point things, it starts getting dark. Are you saying that that has the status of Laila? Ha kaimalon di ad seis hakechavim lav Lailahu. That until the appearance of three stars, it's not considered Laila. So, but before the appearance of three stars, it is what we would call getting dark. But just like we're showing right now that getting dark is not Laila, getting light isn't going to be, you can't prove from here that that's considered Yom. So how do you know that from dawn it's considered Yom? And we cannot base it on the fact that it's a time that it's getting light. Therefore, Ela Omar Rebbe Zera Mehocha, from the following. The pasuk says, "Vanachnu oisim b'malacha, v'chetziom machzikim boramochim, me'alois hashachar ad tzeis hakechavim." It says we were doing malacha, and some of them were holding spears. That's to be de-emphasized. Me'alos hashachar until tzeisekichovim. The Omer, another pasuk says, V'hoyu lanu halayla mishmor v'hayoyim melacha. My the Omer, what do I need the second pasuk for? In other words, we have a pasuk that says that we were doing melacha from alos hashachar. So we would think that from Alos HaShachar, that's daytime, that's when they start doing Malacha. So isn't that enough? What do I need the second Pasuk for? The Gemara answers, V'chitema, if I had just the first Pasuk, namely, V'anachno Yisim B'Malacha, that Pasuk, if I would have had just that, V'chitema, you might have thought, Me'sha'ola Amud HaShachar Lav Yemomo. That's not the definition of day, umichiarva shimsha leila. And as far as what defines night, night is from sunset. The inhu means those people featured in the pasuk that Rabbi Zera quoted, the vanachnu oisim locha, those people mekadmi umachashchi. They started early. They started from Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar really isn't day. They started before day, and that the pasuk says until three stars appear, that they were doing work till three. They stayed late. Therefore, Toshma, I need the second pasuk that Rabbi Zera quoted. V'hoyu lonu halaylo mishmor v'hayoyim melacha. Melacha is associated with yom. So what did we see in the second pasuk that he quoted? We dashed underlined the word v'hayom in the right end between the lines there. You see, v'hayom. Yom is associated with melacha. Now you go to the pasuk just before that. You see the word melacha? And we said melacha is associated with yom. What are the boundaries of yom? So you saw in the first pasuk, from alos hashachar, from dawn until the appearance of three stars. That, and all the time between them, between dawn and appearance of three stars, that is yom. And what they were doing in that pasuk is not starting before yom, but the melacha they were doing was from alos hashachar, which is the beginning of yom, and not before yom. So what do we see from this? We see that from alos hashachar until tzeisak hakoven, but we want to emphasize from alos hashachar, it's already categorized as yom, as daytime. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, and you notice a double underline with Roman numerals 1 and 2. On the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the expressions Kol HaYoim and Kol HaLaila are emphasized. Each category, the Kol HaYoim, the whole day, is kosher for, and there's a very long list. We've counted up to 21 halachas that are relevant to the daytime. And not only that, but they are limited to the daytime. And then Roman number 2 introduces a couple of halachas, practices that can be done at night. Now here we're not going to say specifically at night, but the night is suitable for these things. And now we turn to the Mishnah. There's a very long list of halachas, and each one of these halachas represents an entire tractate, and others are entire topics. It's not our role today in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir of Megillah, Daf Chof Amid Beis, to get into explaining the details of each one of these halachas. What we have to see, though, is that we have to recognize the existence of these different actions. Even if it's not clear what they are, it's not important for right now, but what we do have to see is the source that indicates that they are by day, as far as the first part of the Mishnah is concerned. So now, we read the Mishnah, Kol HaYoim Kosher, and now Rashi adds a nice point here, in that we say the whole day is suitable for these different things, even though we have a principle of Zrizin Magdimin LeMitzvos, that when it comes to mitzvah performance, one should hasten to do it as early as possible. That's true. One should be diligent try to do mitzvahs quickly or as early as possible. However, if you delayed and did it during the latter hours of the daytime, it's also okay. So that's what this expression is conveying, that kol hayom kosher, the whole day is kosher for likus ha-megillah, likriyas halel, litkiyas shofar, lenetilas lulav, litfilas hamusafin. The musaf prayer is acceptable for all day. It's different than shacharit, which is limited to the morning hours, and mincha, which is afternoon hours. Musaf can be done all day. Ula musafim, musaf is the actual sacrifice, the musaf sacrifice that was brought on Shabbosos, on Rosh Chodesh, on holidays. You had a musaf sacrifice. It's kosher all day. Ula vidui haporim. This has to do with the confession of sins in the event of different kinds of cow offerings. One is a par helam dover shel tzibur, a cow offering, in the event that the high court made an erroneous legal ruling, or the par kohen moshiach, where the kohen gadol made an erroneous halachic ruling. That's the vidui parim, the confession over the cows. Ula vidui meiser. This is a passage that one recites after the third and sixth year of the sabbatical cycle, of the agricultural cycle, indicating that he has fulfilled the requirements that are relevant to maisras, to different tithes. So that passage is recited by day, Ula vidui yom hakipurim, the confession of sins that one that is done on Yom Kippur, and that figures very prominently, of course, in the Beis Hamikdash. There was confessional over the various sacrifices, without getting into the details of Maseches Yuma. That was to be done by day. Number 10, l'smicha, the placing of hands on a sacrifice before it's slaughtered, l'shchita, the slaughtering of sacrifices, l'tnufa, tufa has to do with waving. There's a waving action that different sacrificial activities entail, placing the item on one's hands and moving the hands back and forth, up and down, l'hagosha, that's drawing a meal offering to the corner of the Mizbeach. L'kmitza is taking a handful of flour from the bowl containing a meal offering. U'laktora is placing the handful of the meal offering into the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. L'mlika is special, the unique form of bird sacrifice slaughtering. L'kabola, the receipt of the blood. U'lahazoya, the sprinkling of the blood. And Lashkoyas Sota, in the event that there was a suspected immorality, and there's a Sota process done in the Beis Hamikdash, where she drinks water. Not getting into the details over here, we'll just refer to that as the Sota ritual. Ula Rifas Ho'egla, this is not a Beis Hamikdash halacha, but rather this has to do with a case where a murder victim is found between two cities. The closer city to the victim brings a calf whose neck is to be broken as a form of kapara, of atonement for the sin of murder having taken place. And Ulataras Hametzora, the procedure involving the purification of someone who experienced tzoras. All of these things are, we said, the whole day is acceptable for doing them. Kol halaylo kosher l'ktziras ha'omer ula hekter chalovim ve'vorem. The harvesting of the omer is the harvesting of the barley grains on the second day of Pesach. So the grains are harvested at night, and then they're dried out and then offered as a meal offering the next day on the 16th of Nisan. That's in effect the second day of the Pesach holiday. So the harvesting of the Omer grains are at night, and Hekter Chalav Mevorim are limbs of limbs or innards of sacrifices that weren't offered by day. They can be offered up at night on the altar. Zeha klal, dover shemitzvaso bayom kosher kol ayom, that which is to be done by day can be done all through the day, throughout any of the daytime hours. Dover shemitzvaso balaylo kosher kol alaylo, that which is to be done at night is acceptable throughout the entire night. The Gemara asks, and you'll see that we have a numbering scheme. We're trying to be faithful to the numbering that we have in the Mishnah. When numbers appear in the Gemara, like out of order from that which you saw in the Mishnah, so you'll see that a parenthesis appears around the number. But you can easily refer back to the Mishnah if you want to see the see the halacha referred to in the Gemara as it was quoted in the Mishnah. So number one is a reference to the Megillah. How do you know that that is that it's done by day? Domakro v'hayomim ho'ela nizkorim v'naasim. That's a reference to the Megillah, and that's a pasuk from the Megillah itself. And Yomim is emphasized, daytime. The Kriya Sahalel, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, and here we have an Aleph and Beis, there are two opinions as to how you know Halel is to be done by day. Dichtiv, Mimizrach HaShemesh, Ad Mavol. Mizrach HaShemesh is the sun rises in the east, that's daytime, until the Ad Mavol, until it sets in the west. Rav Yosef Omer, Zeh HaYoyim Oso HaShem, also a Pasuk in the Halel. Ulentilas lulav. Now here you see the four is in parentheses because we didn't discuss number three yet. So lulav, the lulav taking is done by day. Dichtiv ulekachtem lochem bayom harishon. Again, we emphasize yom, daytime. Uletkias shofar. Dichtiv yoim truoye lochem. Ulemusafim, regarding the korban musaf. Dichtiv devar yoim biyoimoi. So that in the context of a korban musaf, we see that it is something that is done beyond, by day. Lutfilas hamusafin, the musaf prayer. Well, kemusafim shavu rabbanon. The rabbanon paralleled the shmona esrei of musaf to the korban musaf. So just like we saw a source for the korban musaf being done by daytime, the musaf prayer is done by day, and you have all day to do it. Ulavidui porim. Diyolif kapora kapora miyoyim hakipurim. By in the case of the Purim, we mentioned the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach, the high court that errs in a legal ruling, and the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, he's called the Kohen Mashiach. By those animals, it says v'chiper olav hakohen. So there's a pasuk that says Kapora, v'chiper, olav hakohen, and we now engage in a word comparison, kapora that you find by those cow offerings, and you find kapora by Yom Kippur, by the Day of Atonement, the famous holiday of Yom Kippur, the Sanyo Gabi Yom Kippur, and it says by Yom HaKippurim, v'chiper ba'adoi, uva'ad be'soi, so you have the word v'chiper, and the kaporas dvorim hakosuf medaber. The pasuk that says, and he shall atone for himself and for his family, that's on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol does atonement, and the atonement there is an atonement through words. Generally speaking, when you see the word kapora, it has to do with the sprinkling of sacrificial blood. In the case of Yom Kippur, this pasuk is written before he even slaughtered the Yom Kippur sacrifice. Therefore, this v'chiper bado cannot mean sacrificial blood. There is no blood yet. So the source tells us it's a reference to the verbal confession. The kapora b'yamomahu. Kapora is done by day. Dichtiv by yoim hazeh yechaper aleichem. So naturally you've emphasized the markings, the dashed underline are words by Yom and Yechaper, and through the word comparison we work back to the Vidui HaPorim that we mentioned also is done by day. Ule Vidui Meiser Dichtiv passage that's recited after the third and sixth years of the sabbatical cycle, Dichtiv v'amarti lufnei Hashem Elokecho bi'arti hakodesh min habayis v'somich lei, and next to that pasuk, which is a reference to what we call vidui maestris, it says next to that hayoyim hazeh Hashem Elokecho mitzavecho. So you have through smichus, through the proximity points, you have yom together with vidui maestris. L'smicha u'l'shchita dechtiv v'somach v'shochat. The concept of hand placing is taught in the pasuk together with shechita, uksiv bei b'shechita, uksiv bo b'shechita, regarding slaughtering of sacrifices. It says, "B'yoim zivhachem," on the day of your of slaughtering. Ulutnufa dechtiv b'yoim hanivchem es homer. That's the waving. When tenufa is required, it's done by day. The pasuk here is refers specifically to the waving of the omer, but you can see that this is taken to refer to all wavings. Ula hagasha, that's the drawing near of a meal offering to the corner of the mizbeach, that's done by day. The iskish l'tnufa is compared to tnufa. Dechtiv v'loka hakein miyad ho'isha es minchas haknois v'heinif v'hikriv. So you have here the word v'hikriv, that is hagosha, and together with that in the pasuk you see v'heinif. Heinif is tnufa, and tnufa we establish is by yom, so to hagosha is by yom. Note now again with the numberings, you notice how the numbers appear out of order, but they're all in the Mishnah. Lemlika, lekmitza, laktora, ulahazoya. See, 18 is in its proper position because we should note, by the way, that a 17 doesn't appear in the Gemara text. What was 17? 17 was Kabbalah. Kabbalah means the receipt of the blood. But when you sacrifice an animal after slaughtering it, there's the receiving of the blood. So we are to understand that 17, namely Kabbalah Satam, is to be understood as included in this. And if you look at Rashi carefully, Rashi does have Kabbalah Sadam stated. So these are done by day. Dechtiv b'yoyim tzavoysoy es b'nei Yisrael. And it goes on to say in the pasuk, lahakriv es korbanehem. And Rashi makes the point that all of these activities, malika, which is the unique slaughter, unique form of bird sacrifice slaughtering, and kmitza, the taking of the handful of a meal offering, and the burning on the mizbech, the haktorah, the unmentioned here receipt of the blood, and the hazoya is the sprinkling of the blood. Rashi says that the this is to be understood also in the context of the malika, of the slaughtering of the bird offering and its blood sprinkling, that all of these things fall under the category of hakrovas korban, hakrovas korban. And the pasuk says, as we just read, b'yom tzavos b'Yisrael lahakriv, that's hakrovas korban, is b'yom. Lashkoya sota, that's the suspected married woman of a suspected immorality. She drinks water in the Beis HaMikdash, the special water that had the Parsha sota erased over it. Asya toiro tora, through word comparison. Sifacha, here it says, V'asa lo hakein es kol ha-toiro hazos. That's what the pasuk says in the case, the context of sota. And uksiv hasan, there's another pasuk that says al pi haTorah asher yerucha v'al hamishpat. There's another word. The word Torah appears in another context, and in this context, in this is pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin. The pasuk refers to judgment. Al pi haTorah asher yerucha v'al hamishpat, and we continue at the top of Chof Aleph. Omer Aleph, ma mishpat bayom afkan bayom. The word mishpat refers to judgment, to court judgment. And in the context of court judgment, there's another pasuk, and Rashi tells you what that pasuk is. We wrote it in above the line. V'hoya bayom hanchilo es bonov. So the word bayom appears in the context of mishpat, and Torah appears in the context of Mishpat, and Torah appears in the context of the Sota. So through a hop, skip, and jump through word comparisons, we come out with the conclusion that Sota is by yom, by daytime. Ularifas ho'egla, the breaking of the neck of the calf in the context of the murder victim issue. Omri debay Rabbi Yanai. Kapora ksiv ba kikotshim. Kapora has to do with atonement. Atonement is written in the context of the egla arufa, the arufa sa egla, and the word kapora appears in the case of sacrifices. And you see we have an arrow indicating, to go back to Chof Amid Beis, if you find the parallel arrow indicating Chof Aleph Amid Aleph, you'll see there that it was pointed out that kapora is by day. Bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, we said back there. So that's a daytime thing. Ulutaras mitzora dechtiv zos tia toiras hamitzora biyoim taharoso, the purification ceremony or ritual that is performed with regard to the mitzora that is to be done by day. Kol alaylo kosher liktzira so'imir v'chulei diyom amar ktzira usfira balaylo v'havo'o biyom, the harvesting and the counting, those are done at night. And here the Gemara doesn't reveal the source. Rashi tells us that the sources for these points are in Maseches Menachos. All of the sources, the Psukim, are found over there. The Havoah B'yom is the bringing of the Omer barley meal offering. That's brought to the Beis Hamikdash by day. But the preparation of it, that's at night. And that involves the harvesting. Ulehektor Chalov Mevorim, the innards of sacrifices that were processed during the day, if those innards were not placed on the fireplace of the altar by day, you have the night time that follows as well. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, kol halayla ad haboker. In that context, it says you have all night. Ze haklal, dovar shimitz vaso biyom kosher kol yom. Now, this is a quote from the Mishnah. No, it's after the Mishnah told us at the very beginning where Roman numeral number 1 appears in the double underline, said Kol Hayom Kosher, at the end of the Mishnah, it said Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule, things that are mitzvah, that are daytime mitzvahs, you have all day to do it. When you see a structure like this where something was taught, was spelled out, and then it goes on, the Mishnah will go on to say, and this is the rule, something else is being thought of or being included. And likewise, with regard to the second point of the Mishnah of Kol HaLaila Kosher, the Mishnah does the same thing and tells us that Zeh Kol Dovar Shemitzvos B'Laila Kosher Kol HaLaila. What do these expressions at the end of the Mishnah come to include? The markings that we'll see very shortly are explained on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. You can see the house shape. La'asuye mai, that's highlighted in the house shape. Ma bo l'rabois zeh haklal. Dover shemitzvos yom and dover shemitzvos v'laila. What are these phrases coming to include? So now the Gemara. Zeh haklal la'asuye mai. What else is to be done by day, and that you have all day to do it? And we want to emphasize that aspect of things, that you have all day to do it. La'asuye sidur bozichin v'siluk bozichin ucharab yoisi. This comes to include activities that surrounded the lechem haponim. The lechem haponim were 12 loaves that were placed on the golden table, the shulchan that sat in the hechal, the golden table in the Beis Hamikdash, and they were replaced every week on Shabbos. And part of the lechem aponim had to do with bozichin. These are names of vessels that contained lavona, that contained a certain type of spice that was offered, that was burnt on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. The setting up of the bozichin and the removal of the bozichin can be done throughout the day. That's when the previous week's loaf of bread was removed from the Shulchan on Shabbos. Along with that was the siluk bozichin, the removal of the previous weeks, the bozichin that were sitting on the shulchan all through the week. It is removed and its contents are burnt on the mizbeach in the azor of the Beis Hamikdash. Seder Bazichin is the setting up of the new ones. So you can do, you can, you have all day in which to do this. And this is in accordance with Reb Yossi. The issue that we just mentioned happens to be a machloikis tanoim. The Torah speaks about the breads and the lavona being lefonai tamid, in front of me, tamid at all times. Now, do you take the word tamid literally, or does it mean always? But even if the old breads are removed in the morning and the new ones replaced in the late afternoon, but it's the same day. That's also called tamid, constant. And that comes to simply exclude a case where you have a day that would go by without the breads on the table. But not that they have to be there literally every minute of the day. So the mission that says you have all day in which to do the Siluk Bozichen and the Sidur of the new Bozichen, this is in accordance with Reb Yossi. Disanya, Reb Yossi Omer, Silekes Yeshana Shachris, if you removed the old Bozichen, the Bozichen that had been placed the week before, if you removed them in the morning of Shabbos, the Sidur Chadosha Arvis, and toward the late and toward the end of the day, you put the new ones on the table. Ein bekach klum. There is no problem with that. That's not a problem. Uma ani mekayim lefonai tamid. So then, what am I going to make of the pasuk that says that the breads and the bozichin should be in front of me constantly? The idea of constant is shelo yehi shulchan below lechem. You shouldn't have a situation where there's a better text, shelo yolin shulchan below lechem, that the shulchan should not go a night without lechem. So that you can fulfill the concept of tamid as long as you have the shulchan has on, of course, focusing on Shabbos, the old one can be removed, the old breads can be removed in the morning, and you don't have an entire day going by without the breads. You put the old breads on toward the late afternoon. That too is called tamid. By the way, and Rashi quotes this, the Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Yossi and say that the concept of tamid is literal, that as the old stack of breads is being removed, the new stack of breads follows immediately, follows as you're slipping off the old ones, the new ones are being slipped onto the table. So they don't even have a moment where the table is without the breads. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, as we already explained. Now, Dover Shemitzvah Sabayla Kosher Kol Laila, the expression of Zeh HaKlal in the Mishnah applies to this as well. So, La'asuye Mai, what does this come to include? What else is good throughout the night that the Mishnah did not mention? La'asuye Achilas Pesachim, to include the eating of the Korban Pesach, Udalok Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, and not like Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. Disanya, how much time do you have to eat the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach was a lamb or goat offering brought on the 14th of Nisan, was sacrificed, and its blood was sprinkled on the 14th of Nisan, and then at night, which we call the Seder night, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that was the Korban Pesach night. You had to eat the Korban Pesach. And how much time did you have to eat the Korban Pesach? So according to our Mishnah, the Zeh HaKlal comes to tell us that you have all night to eat the Korban Pesach. Is there someone that disagrees with that? Yes. Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah says you have just till midnight, just till Chatzos. So our Mishnah is telling us that you have all night to eat the Korban Pesach. And that's, Korban Pesach is not spelled out in our Mishnah, but it's included by the expression Zeh HaKlal. Desanyo, V'yochlu es habosu b'layla hazeh, Omar Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Ne'emar kan balaylo hazeh, v'ne'emar lahalon, v'yavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim balaylo hazeh. So the pasuk that deals with the eating of the Korban Pesach says you shall eat it balaylo hazeh, and the pasuk that describes the makas b'choros, the plague of the death of the firstborn Egyptians, it says, I shall pass through Mitzrayim balaylo hazeh. Ma lahalon ad chatzos, just like over there in makas b'choros, it had to do, it took place at midnight. Af kan ad chatzos, so too with regard to the eating of the Korban Pesach, it is until midnight. So our Mishnah that says kol halayla kosher, or zeha klal, the zeha klal expression dover shemitzvasa balayla kosher kol halayla, is telling us you have all night to eat the Korban Pesach, to the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that you're limited till midnight. As you can see, we have with this completed the second parak of Megillah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.